Welcome to the February 2025 episode of the In the Distance Oblivious Playlist Podcast. It's a podcast about music
by two people who love music. I'm sitting here with the cold, loving Big Al Hammond.
And I'm sitting here with the recently frozen Phoebe Fowler. Every month, we pick 11 songs of pretty much any genre or any time period that we put into a changing Spotify playlist. Our podcast talks about some of the songs that we pick and anything else about music that might come into our little heads.
Our podcast is never intended to be overly professional. It's mostly unscripted, just two random people sitting around talking about music and why we like
and sometimes dislike
each other's music tastes.
Welcome to Bitter Cold February.
It is pretty darn cold, isn't it?
It's cold the day we're recording, and right here in lovely Manchester, Richmond, Virginia, we have endured various hardships. Cold being one.
The winter has come.
lack of water has
lack of sunlight.
We've had snow. We've had no water.
We've had ice.
We've had snow, freezing cold.
We've had everything closed down in Richmond City.
Yep. But we're still with you, and we're still determined to bring you a high quality yet unprofessional podcast.
I think we're doing all right.
I think we do it okay. So we're here with our usual, starting out with 20 songs, 10 are Phoebe's, 10 are mine. What did you think about the submissions this month?
I think overall, a lot of the songs, it was hard for me to pick which ones I liked more than the others.
Sure.
They were kind of all on a similar level to me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's definitely like a couple that I really like, but overall, I'm not that impressed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I feel that way about mine and about yours.
Mm-hmm. I think we both have a couple of real standouts.
Mm-hmm.
I think the middle is more middle.
Yes.
But I don't think there were any of either ours that I like discounted right out of the gate.
Oh, I don't dislike any of them.
Yeah,
it's
I don't
just,
dislike any of them. But
I think
I
the overall caliber, though, is maybe it's just because the ones that are middle aren't as in the higher bracket that
okay.
I am
okay.
used to or that I assume is going to be makeup.
Yep.
But, you know, we'll see, I guess.
Yeah. No, I think I thought slightly higher of our submissions than maybe you did, because I was fairly impressed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe not best all time, but you know, I liked our submissions, and we had something of an unintended theme. I had a theme, and I didn't tell you my theme, but you, not completely, but largely played into my theme.
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to tell everybody what your theme was?
My theme was songs that have been in the, or artists rather, who have been in the playlist, but not been in the playlist a ton. Like somebody, not somebody that we have featured constantly, but
like
somebody.
Like Bill Callahan.
Like Bill Callahan, like Angie McMahon, like
right.
Bonnie Prince Billy. And I didn't realize it, but the songs Ohia have been in the playlist. This is the fourth, this potentially the fourth time.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was only two or three.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've
well,
been in,
three.
They've
that would
been
make
in
sense.
Three already.
Right.
The rest of mine were two, the potential second and third appearances, and then you had, I think, seven of yours, maybe either seven or eight of yours, have been in the playlist before.
Yeah, eight of them have been in the playlist before.
Yep.
And seven of them have been in the playlist probably more than once. So.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Unintended theme on my part.
So
I'm
it's,
happy
it's,
to be playing
it's,
in on
it,
that.
It's alumni day here at the In the Distance Oblivious Playlist whoop, podcast.
Whoop.
Yeah, exactly.
Get excited.
There we go. Do you have a prediction on how we will do?
I wrote this down.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I think I'm going to get eight. I think you're going to get seven.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I said that, I think it's going to be the opposite.
Interesting.
Yeah. I have since changed my mind.
So you think I'm going to win?
Yeah, I think you're going to win.
Interesting.
Yep.
Little production note, whenever we have a tie, we have the squirrely ball of confusion, which passes back and forth to determine basically a tiebreaker. And we have the squirrely ball right here. That was the squirrely ball not really bouncing well on the table. And I have the, I currently hold the squirrely ball. I'm going out on a limb here.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're both going to get nine.
Ooh.
I think it.
You think it's obvious?
To me, it feels fairly predictable.
No.
Okay.
I don't know what the fuck you're going to pick.
Right, right.
Like, especially looking at mine, I'm like, I've overthought this so much. I'm like, does he even like any of these? Maybe hates all of them. I don't know.
I think you are famous for overthinking pretty much everything in your life.
I mean, that's my middle name.
Exactly.
You know?
Phoebe Overthink Fowler.
Yep.
P-O-F.
Thank you for that. Pause.
I was just working out your monogram there. I will say, I think it started out the opposite. It started out, I like had no idea what either one of us was going to pick. And the more I listen to them, I feel like I've narrowed it down, which probably means we're both going to get six.
I'm sure this is like, you could do some sort of psychology on this, of the songs that you pick, what that says about you as a person. And because we've done this for so long,
right,
we should know each other inside out.
We should.
Right.
And we do to a point. I mean, I think we have gotten better at predicting what each other will pick.
We think we have.
But I think we have gotten better over the course of these last.
Yes.
17 and a half years that we've been doing this podcast. So yeah, we're going to take a little break now. We're going to pick the songs, and then we'll be back and talk about those songs that got in. And then we'll talk some more about some other stuff. All of this for the February... which month is this?
The month of love.
Love. But we'll be back after this and talk about more stuff. Yay, Phoebe!
Hooray!
Phoebe kicked my ass.
Thank
so
you.
Badly.
Yeah.
9-7. Man.
See, I didn't even think I was going to get that.
You always say that.
I don't always
say
that.
You say you're not going to do well. It gets old. I'm tired of it. You always kick my ass. You always go home with Frank. I always lose. And I'm very happy with it. I love our playlist.
I love the playlist.
We have a good one.
Yep.
We're going to pause just a minute, and we're going to tell you which songs made it into our playlist.
The first song on our playlist is The Captain's Daughter, Part 1, by Marty O'Reilly and the Old Soul Orchestra, from his album Pray for Rain, released in 2014. Fuck yes is all I have to say about this one.
You're not wrong.
Please listen to it.
And please watch the video.
Yes, the video. Actually, just watch the fucking video.
Our second song is the Felice Brothers. The song is Holy Weight Champ from the album Undress in 2019. This is their third appearance in the playlist. Phoebe picked this one, and I was slightly surprised. Our third song is Palmyra, a Virginia band, with the song Fried, from the album Surprise Number 1, 2024. Actually, I think it was a single rather than an album. This is their second appearance in the playlist. And I really like this song. And I don't think I really took them that seriously with their first song, but I'm very happy this got in.
I like Happy Pills. I like this one better.
I agree. Next up is Dark, Dark, Dark with the song Bright, Bright, Bright from the EP Bright, Bright, Bright in 2010. This is their second appearance. And this band is absolutely one of my favorite bands that we have found in the history of our playlist. I would love to see them live, although I don't think that's very likely.
Our fifth song is by the lovely Ethel Kane. Her song, A House in Nebraska, from the album Preacher's Daughter, released in 2022. This will be her second time in the playlist, previously in with Thoroughfare, which we both know and love very much.
Absolutely.
This is also an artist I would love to see live.
Mm-hmm.
Our sixth song is Shivers by Folk Bitch Trio. It's a single released in 2022. This is also their second time in the playlist. They were previously in with Analog. Our next song is by Keenan O'Meara, his song Carriage, from the album Blink of Light, released in 2016.
Father John Misty is up next. The song is Josh Tillman and the Accidental Dose from the album Mahash Mashana in 2024. This is his third time in the playlist, but only second time as Father John Misty. He was in earlier with Crosswinds as Jay Tillman. This is a very fun song to listen to. The next song is Rosie Plain. The song is actually from the album Friend in 2015. This is her second appearance as a solo artist, but she's also been in the playlist a couple of times. We're not actually sure which song she's played on, but Rosie is the bass player for This Is The Kit, who has been in the playlist a number of times. We like this one a lot.
Coming in at number 10, we're listening to Good Guy, featuring Faye Webster by Julia Jacklin. It's a single released in 2024, and this will be Julia Jacklin's fourth time in the playlist now. We definitely love her a lot. I can't get enough of her. And this will be Faye Webster's first appearance, but definitely not the last. Our 11th song is Don't Forget by Martha Wainwright from her album Martha Wainwright, released in 2005.
This one also has a really lovely video featuring Martha and her brother Rufus and her mother Kate. Found 11 really good songs, baby.
We did.
We kind of did. You were poo-pooing this.
I did poo-poo it.
You poo-pooed and you poo-pooed and you poo-poo-poo-poo-poo-pooed. And like...
I can admit that I am wrong when I'm wrong. And I was wrong.
So we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about a few of these songs that did get in and a few of the songs that did not. There may be words. What do you think of what were your favorites? What were you? I know that you got a little. To quote Mike Myers, you got a little verklempt at the Marty O'Reilly video.
Okay, so that was definitely one of my own favorites that I submitted. And listeners, if you aren't already aware, Big Al finds the videos, watches the videos. I do not watch the videos. I actively, and this is even before this, the podcast and the playlist began.
You've never liked watching the videos ahead of time.
Prefer to never watch the videos. I honestly don't even really care to see what they look like. Mm-hmm. Obviously, mm-hmm. I do love live music, and then of course I will see what they look like. It's not like I go in with a blindfold because that's insane. But
to base it only on the recorded studio versions that we're listening
and
to.
And I don't necessarily think that that is the right way to listen to music at all. It's just my way that I
don't
like
think
doing
either
it.
Way is right or wrong.
Exactly.
I think both are valid.
But just so everybody is aware.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do have to say.
Yes.
Watching that Marty O'Reilly video.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Did you become filled with emotion?
The hottest thing that I have seen this month.
Yes.
Like.
Yes.
And not even intending to be sexy or whatever. Yeah. It's just watching somebody just so amazing at their craft and the energy.
Full disclosure, Phoebe doesn't need porn. Phoebe needs Marty O'Reilly, right? I fully grant that, and like that's a fucking sexy as shit as an occasionally straight male. Like I fully acknowledge that's a sexy man and that's a sexy video.
Occasionally straight male should be the name of
we're gonna
band.
Get t-shirts, man.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's that I want to see him live. I want to see them live. And we've said this before, but I really like a lot of his studio work, but it does not compare to those videos.
Yes.
It's crazy. And obviously, it's still really good, but it's almost like it's a completely different experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only imagine what it would be like to see that live.
I agree. Yeah, he's in my top five of people that I would love to see live.
We'll put him on the list, and hopefully a miracle happens, and we could see him and everybody else on our list, right?
So I have a theme. I don't mean to cut you off. I have a theme that I would like to bring up. We talked about the theme earlier that most of these people, the 20 that were submitted, and it turns out all 11. That got in were playlist alumni that have been in the playlist before. I sort of think the additional theme is that maybe with a couple of exceptions, most of the new songs that got submitted, frankly, were better than the previous ones.
Mm.
The Palmyra is a good example. I think that's a much better song than the previous one.
I do think it's a better song. I still really like the previous one just because it's so fun, but
it's
agree
totally
that it's a better song.
Even better example, the Folk Bitch Trio.
Yeah.
This is a much better
right?
song. Right? And I know you liked the earlier Keenan O'Meara song.
This one's better.
This one's better. So, listeners, both of us happenstance submitted Keenan O'Meara songs to the playlist.
Yes.
Both of these songs are so much better than the first one.
I wouldn't go that far. I still really, really like the first one. I think for me it goes the one I submitted, the first one, and then the one that you submitted.
I liked both. Like I went back and forth of which of these two to pick.
Mm-hmm.
Because both of these songs I really liked.
Look,
and the
I'm one, drinking the Keenan O'Meara Kool-Aid, okay?
Fair
I'm
enough.
A fan.
Fair
I'm
enough.
A stan, all right?
And I also think we both like this Father John Misty song.
Yes.
Partly just his wonderful sense of humor, but also the melody and just
the
musical grabness.
It really just all comes together for me in the best way. Yeah. And I think this is the best way that I've heard Father John Misty.
I don't disagree with you. His sense of humor and his sense of irony.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw it, but I posted a thread on the Steely Dan Reddit
I did not see
talking
this.
About the similar sense of both musicianship and melody, but also the sort of dark, ironic subject matter that exists in both Steely Dan and Father John Misty.
I want to see a paper on this, but what did they say? What was the sentiment, the overall sentiment?
People generally agreed with me. They didn't necessarily see musical similarities, and I get that, but the darkness and the sense of humor and the irony in the subject matter, people were like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So do you have songs that didn't get in that you would like to talk about? Either
it's so
good
funny.
Or bad.
Like, I feel like I had this whole list and now I'm looking at it and I am really happy with what got in.
Yes.
I'm not sure I really have complaints.
Well, that's because you won. And like you got the stuff you wanted to get in and I didn't. So
save for two of them, I could see why. If you hadn't picked two of these, I could see why you would pick something else, but...
Tell me what the two are.
I don't think that you voted for the Julia Jacklin and Faye Webster.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay. Good.
I liked that song, but I didn't love it. And I liked some of your other songs just a whole lot more.
Like, I kind of put that in there, not really thinking that even I would pick it, and it would just be a song that, like, I really liked.
But
more I listened to it, and I listened to the voices together, I don't know, I kind of just got hypnotized.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I like the song anyway, and I love the album that it comes from, Crushing.
I also think you can say that about a whole lot of Julia Jacklin songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't hit you in the beginning as, oh, this is like the most amazing song, but like the more you listen to her,
yes,
it's like there's something very hypnotic,
yep,
going on, and just her slow, quiet delivery.
I just want to say that I have seen her live twice and I've taken a photo with her,
and that
will be my claim to fame.
Shut up.
And I will be riding that high.
Fuck you.
Thank you very much.
Fuck you. But good for you, and I'm jealous. So, anyway.
You've seen her live too.
I've seen her live once, and she was wonderful.
Yeah, that was a great show.
I fully admit, like, I didn't totally get it.
Yeah.
The first time
I kind of got that. Yeah.
I liked her and I enjoyed the show, and you know she was opening for somebody who we came there to see.
Right.
So you, no offense to me, but you kind of like. You kind of pay less attention to the opener unless they...
Oh, I go full in. I'm listening to all of their shit.
I know. And you should. You should always pay attention to live music. And doesn't matter whether the opener or not. But anyway.
No, that's definitely one, at least one artist. I you know, several more that we have listened to since that I'm glad that I paid attention to.
Can I ask what you thought of the Ted Lucas? It's so easy when
I
you know.
Love the Ted Lucas.
Yeah, it's sweet.
I love it so much. Okay, so the only reason why I didn't pick it is frankly because it's Ted Lucas. And you could put any Ted Lucas song on for both of us, and I think we'll just completely melt and be happy and love it. That's kind of why I didn't want to pick it.
Uh-huh. It didn't stand out quite enough?
Not quite enough, but also it just... I don't know, it would be too obvious a pick for me.
Okay, yeah.
We both love Ted Lucas so much that it's... I could see picking a cover, frankly, if it was a really interesting, a different kind of cover.
Mm-hmm.
Only because we both really love Ted Lucas. Which maybe is not completely fair, but...
I don't know if there are covers of that or not. Like
this one, I don't know.
That would be worth looking up.
We do have our covers playlist.
We do.
Coming up
next
month in
March.
Yes,
we should mention that.
Covers.
Next month, we're doing another all covers playlist, which we're very excited about. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Phoebe.
Yes.
I got words.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Okay. What are you upset about? Let's hear it.
The best song that was submitted... to this playlist.
The best between the both of us.
The best song that was submitted did not get in.
Mm. And what song was that?
I did not pick it only because I was so sure that you were going to.
And that's
to
why
pick
I didn't
that.
Play those games this time.
Yeah.
But all right, continue.
Why didn't you pick the Jason Molina Tigress?
Wow.
Good God, that's a fucking good song.
That was my least favorite of your songs.
Man!
Good God, woman!
Fisticuffs! Let's fight!
Why? Why?
No. To say I did not like it is actually inaccurate. But it was my least favorite of the ones that you submitted. So petty. He's been saving that up.
No, I love that song. God damn, I love that song.
Tell me why.
That one might be.
That's fine. Tell me
it's
why.
I
want to understand where you're coming
from.
I do like him.
This band is like all about that dark, quiet intensity. And this song.
I like dark, quiet intensity.
This song embodies that as much as any song that I've ever heard of theirs.
Something about the arrangement of the song and the matching vocals did not equate in my brain.
Man, I love that song.
It was not for me. Yep. It was like, I don't know if it has anything to do with the melody or not, but like something was not what I wanted it to be.
Okay.
And in the delivery of the song.
Man. Okay. Fair enough.
And this is why the playlist is fun.
It is.
Because
we totally
fucking disagree sometimes.
I totally agree. Yeah. And that's
and sometimes
that's what makes
we're
it
ready
interesting.
To fight. Right. Listeners, if you can't see this, but Big Al he's sweating and his hands are moving around and shit. He doesn't know what to do with himself.
Veins are popping out of my forehead. Popping. And veins be popping out of my forehead. But I think we did really well here. I think we found, you know, we always say this, but I think we found 11 good songs. I think we made the most out of what we had. There was that one song that didn't get in.
Because you didn't pick it.
Because you didn't pick it. But I'm very happy with our playlist, as I always am. And we haven't mentioned the fact that we have upgraded our audio setup.
Hopefully you guys can tell the difference.
You should see Phoebe doing that. She looks like a little fucking porn star over there.
That's extreme.
Yes, but it's so hot. Hot.
Beauty. David Bowie.
Anyway, but we're gonna take a little break, and we're gonna come back, and we're gonna like have a little musical discussion. But I will also say that we are still sort of learning our new audio equipment. And when we recorded the upcoming section, we didn't know what we were doing with the audio thing, so you might have to turn it up or turn it down or do something different.
Please forgive us.
So welcome to the part of the podcast where we talk about other music stuff. And we think a lot about Spotify because we use Spotify. And we like Spotify, but then sometimes we don't like Spotify.
Yes.
And we also sort of don't like, or we have major reservations about, what streaming in general is doing to the music industry. And also just how the music industry itself has changed a lot in good ways and bad ways.
It's definitely changed. And I recently came across this article in Vulture by Nicholas Kwa called You Can't Outrun Spotify.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And we wanted to talk a little bit about just about that article, but also about sort of two average listeners' take on the music industry, and not that we're experts, but what we think about it.
So I've had Spotify for several years now. Right.
A lot of years. You've had it way longer than I have.
I've probably had it for like, it's been at least 10 years that I've had Spotify. Mm-hmm. Which, when you think about it, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it's significantly less money than it would be if you were to go out and buy physical media. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's part of why so many people choose to use Spotify. It's cheaper in the long run. It's a lot more convenient, right? All you need is your phone or your iPod or whatever you have.
Yeah.
And you have access to millions of songs, which is why I think Spotify has been able to become such as what it is today.
Yeah. And I think I'd always known about Spotify and other, when we say Spotify, we're also talking about Apple Music and Pandora.
Streaming
and lots
in general.
Lots of whatever service you like. Spotify just is the big kid on the block.
Yeah.
But I think from a consumer standpoint, it does make a lot of sense that, am I going to go and spend 15, 20, however much CDs cost on a CD this month, or am I going to take that same money and have access to not only that CD, but every CD that's ever been made?
Exactly. You know? It's kind of hard to pass that up, right?
It's very hard, you know? And why should you, you know? I mean, we all want the most bang for our buck. We all want to get as much enjoyment out of our dollar as we can, and from a consumer standpoint,
it makes
Spotify
sense.
Does make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
right?
But with that comes its own problems, just like with anything else, right?
Yes.
And we always talk about music in general, but when you look at streaming, and we're using Spotify as an example because we both use Spotify and we enjoy using Spotify most of the time.
We do.
But it's not just Spotify. It's like this idea of streaming everything, right? Everything is on demand. And it's convenient, sure. And it's easier for people to be recognized on these platforms. But it also means that theoretically they're going to be paid less, right?
Yeah.
For those songs and for creating that art.
And I think, not that I am an expert here, but I think from artists, the artist argument against it is that, yes, there are people that make money on Spotify, but that's the 1% of the 1%.
Exactly.
And the vast majority of musicians don't really make that much money from it,
mm-hmm.
if anything. And that's... that has changed, obviously, the whole dynamics of the music industry, in that it used to be that an artist would sign a record deal and you're not making the whole X number of dollars that it costs to go out and buy an album or a CD, but you are making money from the record company. And
right.
Now it's like artists might sell CDs and make a little bit of money from that, but if you're an artist out there, you have to hustle way more than you used to.
Yes.
At least an artist who's just starting out.
And not everybody has the resources to be able to do that, nor should you have to do that all of the time, right? It shouldn't be a situation where, say, you are one of the most popular artists staying on Spotify, and yet you have to work two jobs, right? Because,
yeah.
Like, it doesn't pay you anything. It's crazy.
Well, the whole dynamics of the music industry has changed a lot, too, in that, and if you look at concert ticket prices,
mm-hmm.
it's reflected in that artists used to make part of their living from selling records and dealing with record companies, and a smaller percentage from playing shows.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole dynamic has shifted in that if you're an artist now, you pretty much have to play out live.
Yeah.
And you also have to charge higher prices for those tickets.
Yep.
Which makes it harder to go to shows. And yeah, like the shows have gotten theoretically more dynamic and more impressive. But, you know, like...
Everybody has a threshold, right? It's like, for someone that we both really, really like, I could see spending $100 to go see them, right? I'm not going to spend $300 and whatever these other ticket prices. It's just not feasible.
I know.
And even if I had that kind of money just to be doing it, I can see myself spending that on my own home setup or something. You know what I mean? Like improving that so I can enjoy that experience alone. I don't have to deal with a crowd of people.
Yeah.
I don't have to deal with, trying to get around and parking and all the other kind of stuff. It's just, I don't know. I mean, we are introverts. So, of course, we're going to choose to be alone. But it just, it frankly just doesn't seem worth it.
Well, we've talked a lot when we talk about going to see a show. Would you rather go see, you know, neither one of us has a great desire to go see Taylor Swift level artists, you know, mm-hmm. like we don't have any interest in that. But would you rather go see a major national touring act at the National or at an outdoor venue that's bigger, or would you rather take that same dollar and go see three or four small local acts at local venues that are smaller? I think we both agree that, yeah, with some exceptions, you might want to go see one of those big name acts once mm-hmm. in a while, but it's way more fun to see smaller people in smaller venues, and you get a more intimate experience, and you also get to do it more often because it's cheaper.
Yep.
You know?
And that's what I want to do more, you know?
But I think, my point is, I think we're probably at a minimum on that.
Fair.
But most people would rather go see, if not Taylor Swift, most people would rather go see, I'm just pulling names out of the hat here, but the National or, mm-hmm. you know, Wilco or people that are, you know, have established track records that are going to be playing larger venues.
Right.
And have more impressive stage shows.
Or Nathaniel Rateliff, who I still want to see but can't afford his ticket prices.
Another good example. Yep.
Just reading this article, right?
Yeah.
You can't outrun Spotify. Mm-hmm. It sort of feels like a lose-lose situation.
It does, right? Yeah.
And it almost feels like, this is what I think, even if you get rid of Spotify, there will be something else to fill that gap, right?
Oh,
even
if
Spotify, with all of its troubles, becomes obsolete, right, from people that actually just want to listen to music. Spotify, I just want to listen to music. I don't want to listen to podcasts.
Yes.
Something else will fill in that space, right?
Yeah. It's not the company Spotify's fault. It's the fact that technology has changed the way people
consume exactly
music.
That's exactly it. Right? Yes. It's like, where do you go from there? It does feel like a lose-lose situation, because unless you inherently change how we approach technology, I don't see that going away. And it's not just Spotify. It's all streaming, right? I mean, you can apply a similar argument to, like, movies and everything. And
absolutely.
TV shows today.
I agree with all that, and I think all of that is valid. I would also bring up the fact that there's a, if I can pronounce this word right, democratization of...
Good job.
Thank you. I had to do it slowly. There's a democratization on both sides, both consuming and creating music, mm-hmm. in that, yes, we as consumers have these options now to spend $10, $11, however much it is a month, to have access to all this music. But from an artist standpoint, it used to be that you didn't get to make a record unless you were a big deal.
Mm.
You didn't get to make a record unless you talked some record executive into signing you, and that involved going to a recording studio, having access to a bunch of equipment that somebody else had paid for,
which is very expensive.
It's very expensive and not common.
Right.
But now, like, if you and I wanted to, you and I could stream music.
Get the old band together.
Exactly. We could hook
sing
up
cat songs.
Hook up these mics and do bad covers
and just vomit out there into the world
of Heart. You know, we could do Barracuda, and we could release Barracuda.
Barracuda.
But now anybody in their basement with GarageBand,
literally in their basement.
Yeah.
Can,
in their garage. You know. Could make records and stream it on Spotify. And that's both a good thing and it's not a bad thing ever, but it's a thing that frankly sort of dilutes the pool. That it used to be that only certain people who had certain connections
could... Are you gatekeeping music?
I'm not saying any of this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I think it should be acknowledged that it's a thing.
It is a thing,
that
yes.
Now
it's a good thing that people have access to all this music.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing that there's lots of people that can make records. That's a good thing. But the bad thing is, who pays for it? Who,
yes.
It's one thing to say, I'm a musician, I have a band, we make great music, we're streaming our music, but does that necessarily mean that you are deserving to make money of it?
It's funny you say that. I mean, it just, I don't know, something just clicked for me. With new technology, right, people have better access to things, which is why we have streaming and all of these things that we have today, right?
Yes.
It's almost, when you have that much content out there,
mm-hmm.
it's almost, you almost need Spotify to get you to the content that you want to pay attention to. And I'm not saying that everybody needs Spotify, but it makes it easier, right? Like, we have definitely benefited from Spotify's algorithm
yeah.
in our own playlist and podcast. But it comes to a point when, how do you find your music?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How do you get closer to the stuff?
Spotify is helpful.
Exactly. But because of that, it's like it's almost like you need something to direct you or
for lack of a better word, curate your feed.
Yeah.
Right?
Which, in a way, yeah, it's a good thing because we've done that and we've found really good music, but also seems like the opposite of what you should be doing with anything in art.
Right,
why the fuck
right.
are you curating?
And why do you need a computer algorithm living on a server somewhere?
Right, to tell you what you like.
To tell you what's good.
Right. Yeah, that's really weird when you think about it.
It's very, well, it's also the world we live in that, like, computer algorithms do everything for us,
mm-hmm.
make all our decisions for us, and not in a healthy way often.
Well, the article was talking about what is it, like, ghost artists and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that, and
yeah.
I had read a little bit about this before. I mean, I don't
Which
know a whole lot about
fuck.
It. That is so fucking weird.
Yeah.
And like ghost playlists and stuff like that, and AI is,
and
like,
AI is gonna fuck all that up even
yes
more, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. AI definitely has terrifying potential in
yep.
general, but
yep.
just talking in this little space here,
yeah.
it's
the music industry is one more way that AI is potentially terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it's good because I don't think Spotify would be where it is today without some sort of algorithm AI
sure.
involvement. However, you can go too far with it, yep. just like you can with anything, I think.
Yep. No, I think, like, thinking about the future of all this, I think it's really interesting that, like, a lot of it, when you think about the economics of anything, but the music industry in particular, a lot of it does boil down to supply and demand. And
mm-hmm.
What I was talking about earlier with, like, everybody and their sister now making albums and releasing streaming tracks, that's a good thing, but you wonder if supply and demand at some point is just gonna, like, weed out the bad stuff.
Right.
That
or what it deems is bad, you know
right.
what I mean?
But is, I guess, a question would be, is Spotify going to be the one who deems what's good and bad, or is the economics of which artists make money, therefore which
mm-hmm.
artists continue making art, therefore what lasts and what doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be Spotify that makes that decision, or is it, for lack of a better word, the marketplace?
Right.
That of which artists, like, at some point, and I say this as an artist who has spent my life making art, and sometimes making money at it and sometimes not, at what point do you throw up your hands and say, this shit just ain't worth it? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know, like, I gotta give up and go get a real job and
right.
have a career. Versus, like if you're an artist thinking about making music, what's your success threshold of, like, what's worth it and what's not?
You'd have to be incredibly dedicated and a little bit insane, I think, to pursue art in today's world.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm always amazed and impressed by people that do that.
Yeah.
And are somehow able to make a living at it.
Well, I think you start out doing it because you love it, and you would do it whether you're making
right.
a living at it or not, and maybe you have to have a second job, mm-hmm. a real job, whatever. But yeah, I agree. Like, the idea that, like, anybody in this economy even hoping to make part of their living or part of their existence based on art is a worthy ambition. Thank you. I don't think either one of us knows the answer here. I think the answer for me as a music consumer is to choose to try, and I think we do this with our playlist.
Mm-hmm.
I think the answer is to try and spend more quality time with smaller people.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that involves just listening to them, but also we try, when we go see shows, we try and go see local shows.
Yep.
And I think that is the healthiest way to approach music consumption, is to listen to more local people and go out and buy tickets to local shows and support local venues, support local artists. It's kind of like the idea of any living in 21st century America. I think if more people shop local and shop less at chains,
mm-hmm.
and ate at local restaurants and not ate at chain restaurants, and also, yeah, go see local bands and support local bands, and maybe buy a t-shirt, and maybe, you know, go out and at least buy a ticket to their shows. I think that's, from where I sit, that's what I can do.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good approach. I mean, there's that, and you can also, at this point, it's like, I think we are both music people, and I could see us doing this, but, like, you know, once every now and then, maybe you get a CD, maybe you get, like, a commemorative vinyl by whoever or something. And I could see doing that for somebody that I really, really like, and for something that I know I'm always going to want to listen to.
Yeah, I'm more likely to buy the snow globe. I'm more likely to, like, invest in the merch that's,
I,
like,
can get the t-shirt.
A cool t-shirt, maybe a coffee mug.
Yeah.
You know, stickers.
This is all to say, I saw that Doechii vinyl that she dropped, and I actually wanted that. Just put that on your list.
Yeah. Okay. we all have our guilty pleasures, and I support you in your guilty pleasures.
It is something that I like to think about, you know, like, as we are consumers and we consume music, but we also love music and appreciate the artists that make this music that we can listen to and sometimes feature in our playlist.
And also want the music industry to survive and maybe
yes.
even thrive.
Yes,
and
I would love that.
Artists that we love, we want them to be able to continue to do what they do, and we love them.
And we appreciate you.
Yep. Both our Spotify playlist and our silly little podcast are updated and released around the first of each month. We were recorded this month and every month in the warm and cozy hug of the OML Studios in downtown Manchester, Richmond, Virginia.
If you enjoyed our podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast and subscribe to a finished and ordered playlist on Spotify by searching for In the Distance Oblivious.
You can visit our podcast home on the internet at itdo.name, and please email us with questions or suggestions at music@itdo.name.
Thanks to Eagle Rare Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey for help in recording this month.
Our theme music is from Red Eye by Ease Jammy Jams.
And we find a lot of our great background music from Blue Dot Sessions, and all of our music is always credited in our show notes.
Thanks to Folk Bitch Trio.
Thanks to Dark, Dark, Dark.
Thanks, Joe.
And thanks, Frank.
Please keep listening and tell your friends.